Democracy is fragile. Throughout history, humans have sought safety in authority and centralized power. While media, academics, and political elites warn about right-wing authoritarianism culminating in the January 6th Capitol riot, a more insidious threat has emerged: institutional authoritarianism from the left. This powerful coalition of journalists, academics, Hollywood executives, tech giants, and corporate leaders increasingly demands ideological conformity while punishing dissent. The system held against right-wing pressure on January 6th. Vice President Pence fulfilled his constitutional duty, Republican senators abandoned electoral challenges, and Republican governors certified their state votes. Yet in the aftermath, America's institutional powers swung decisively toward authoritarian measures. Media outlets advocated deplatforming conservatives, social media companies removed accounts, corporations cut funding to Republicans who challenged electoral votes, and tech companies collaborated to take alternative platforms offline. The consequences are tangible. More than 60% of Americans now fear expressing their true thoughts, including most liberals, moderates, and a staggering 77% of conservatives. Only strong liberals feel confident speaking freely. For non-leftists, institutional hatred is palpable across academia, media, sports, entertainment, social media, and workplaces. After Trump's 2016 victory, political elites condemned millions of voters as deplorables rather than engaging in self-reflection, allowing them to abandon journalistic principles while confirming their biases. The authoritarian left has dominated major institutions through a three-step strategy. First, they've shifted the balance between offense and free expression by establishing that any offense to vulnerable groups represents harm requiring silence. Microaggressions are framed as violence, regardless of intent, while implicit bias becomes grounds for condemnation. Second, they've hijacked major institutions through what Nassim Nicholas Taleb calls renormalization, a process where a motivated minority forces an uninterested majority to accommodate them, requiring only about 20% supporting an extreme view to trigger radical change. Finally, they convert liberals into leftists by narrowing the Overton window, labeling conservatives as racists, and penalizing liberals who engage with them. America has divided into two classes: an elite, who run the nation's economic, political, and cultural institutions, and everyone else. This elite possesses prestigious educational credentials and distinct tastes that separate them from mainstream America. The new ruling class now requires fluency in the language of social justice, specialized vocabulary unintelligible to outsiders. This linguistic divide has widened political gaps, with college graduates increasingly voting Democratic while non-graduates trend Republican. The vocabulary functions as a signaling mechanism that identifies true believers and excludes outsiders. Membership requires specific linguistic markers, pronouns in bios, terms like Latinx, references to systemic discrimination, modified forms of justice, concern about microaggressions, dismissing opponents by citing privilege, and discussing structures of power. Universities have become ideological factories with minimal viewpoint diversity. Harvard surveys show nearly 80% of faculty identify as liberal, with conservatives at just 1.46%. The political imbalance is stark. Professor donations favor Democrats by a 95-1 ratio. Some fields show extreme disparities, with only 2 to 7% of professors in political science, philosophy, history, and literature identifying as conservative. A crucial distinction exists between genuine science and the science TM. Real science gathers knowledge through observation and falsification to discover objective truths, while the science TM demands compliance with politicized interpretations, essentially politics in a lab coat. This manipulation became evident during COVID-19. Officials initially cited science to justify lockdowns and condemn gatherings, but pivoted after George Floyd's death. When millions joined Black Lives Matter protests without social distancing, these same officials suddenly endorsed these gatherings as vital to national public health while maintaining restrictions on other events. The politicization extends beyond public health. Despite COVID-19 death rates being 630 times higher for those over 85, CDC officials recommended essential workers receive vaccines before the elderly for racial equity, an approach projected to increase overall deaths by 0.5 to 6.5%. The push for diversity has also undermined scientific meritocracy. When identity politics infiltrate science, qualifications become secondary to demographic representation. The Association of American Medical Colleges even hosted speakers claiming standardized tests like the MCAT are inherently racist because they disproportionately eliminate certain demographics. Once reliably apolitical or conservative-leaning, America's corporations have become bastions of authoritarian leftism. During Black Lives Matter protests, major corporations decried systemic racism and pledged millions toward diversity initiatives, while mandating training and firing employees with contrary views. Corporations aren't ideologically committed to free markets, but to profit-seeking. Staffed increasingly by the new ruling class, they installed diversity officers whose functions resemble 20th-century commissars. Studies show 70% of consumers want brands to take political stands, with 55% claiming they would boycott brands that don't mirror their politics. This pressure comes primarily from the left. Consumers penalize companies for conservative positions, but not liberal ones, viewing leftist positions as merely normal business. Companies enforce ideological conformity through mandatory diversity training sessions costing $20,000 each. Despite studies showing these trainings are ineffective and may increase discrimination, corporations invest billions not for effectiveness, but to prevent blowback and create conformity. In September 2020, the Academy Awards introduced diversity standards for Oscar eligibility, requiring films to include underrepresented leads or storylines. This formalized Hollywood's existing leftist bias, with recent Best Picture winners featuring progressive tales about inequality, racism, or homophobia. Cancel culture now dominates Hollywood, targeting not just conservatives, but anyone falling short of current woke standards. Even shows like The Office had episodes removed for depicting blackface, despite contexts that criticized it. Establishment media has become the primary vehicle for promoting authoritarian leftism through revolutionary aggression, censorship, and imposing new moral standards that label traditional values as immoral. Today's newsroom conflicts aren't between conservatives and liberals. Conservatives are virtually absent from establishment outlets. Instead, the conflict exists between authoritarian leftists and liberals who agree on policy but disagree on methods. Social media platforms, once champions of open discourse, now actively censor content. After Trump's 2016 victory, media elites and Democrats blamed these platforms for allowing fake news. Senator Dianne Feinstein threatened tech companies. "You created these platforms, and now they're being misused, and you have to be the ones who do something about it, or we will." The authoritarian left has made Americans ashamed of their founding philosophy through education, pushing the flawed argument that America is systemically racist. The solution isn't overthrowing American systems, but embracing founding principles that protect citizens' rights and commit to virtue and reason. To counter this movement, we must reject the notion that silence is violence, deny that speech is violence, and refuse the conflation of cordiality with inoffensiveness. Facts matter regardless of feelings. For captured institutions, Americans have three options: legal action against discriminatory practices, political action to expand anti-discrimination laws to include political viewpoints, and building alternative institutions. The solution comes from recognizing we are the majority. The authoritarian moment depends on our silence. When we stand together for liberty, when we refuse intimidation into conformity, the authoritarian moment ends. Our democracy relies not just on institutions, but on citizens courageous enough to speak truth against powerful opposition.